Do you have topics for the next episode,
or do you? I can talk about my Singapore trip. I still haven't mentioned that.
Didn't you already talk about it last week?
Barely. At the beginning, wasn't it? Because like that's all I got.
Because I put it in as an after credits. What you were talking, sure. What you were telling Derek.
Oh, like you already did. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was there anything more beyond that, or that's it?
I'll just go through the whole a little bit more things and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can do that. Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, such as topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Jami, and only Jami today.
Yes. Well, not today, but as of this recording. Oh, right, yeah. Now, this episode, yes, just me and Jami. How about that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jami, follow up on the Singapore thing. There's still other stuff that you could talk about. Let's go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, I was in Singapore about 3.5 days and stuff like that. And I just want to mention a couple of things. Basically, I just want to cover sort of like the big talking points people have associated with Singapore. So I just want to mention if I found them true or not. The first thing is every time people talk about Singapore, it's kind of like the airport. The airport is known for like being the best airport in the world, right? And I want to say,
really? It's known for that?
Yeah, it's either it's that airport. There's a new Dubai airport that people like a lot. And those are kind of the two big airports that people usually talk about. What have you heard?
Oh, I heard more about how clean it is in Singapore. That's the top. That's the number one thing I hear.
Oh, no. Yeah. If you Google or TikTok the Changi, which is what the airport is called, mm-hmm. The people love it. People, because they have that big waterfall, they got a big shopping mall. They have a lot of free stuff to do there and stuff like that. But anyway. When I arrived, because you go to the airport twice, right? Arrival and departure. Arrival, the thing that struck me was it's very easy to go through. Once I departed the plane, navigating the airport is really easy. Going through customs is really easy. All I did was have to fill out something on the iPad, some questionnaires. It took like less than 2 minutes. And then you scan your passport and then you're done. That's it. You're out. You're out of the airport and stuff like that. And from there, I didn't really want to hang out that much because, you know, first time in Singapore, I didn't want to hang out at the airport, to be honest. So I just got out of there. But from what I can tell that first time around, it's really clean, very kind of organized, very big and stuff like that. So when I departed, I thought I had more time, but I screwed up. I went to the wrong terminal. So I didn't see the main part of the airport, this nice area called Jewel, which is where most of the TikTok videos, all the social media videos are made. That part of the airport, but for I did spend like at least 2 hours at the airport during my departure. It's a wonderful airport. It is gorgeous. It is clean and stuff like that. It's a lot of shopping and the airport food is actually not that bad. It's pretty good and stuff like that. It's pretty good. So I would say that the Singapore airport kind of lives up to the hype. You know, I mean? it's really nice. Big thumbs up.
Okay.
So the other, yeah, I would say so. And like I said, I only saw maybe a small percentage of it. You know what I mean? It's a very small percentage of it. And the main thing people notice, I talk about Singapore is the food and stuff. All these hawker centers and stuff like that. And I spent like I said, 3 days there. And I stayed in Chinatown. And within that Chinatown, I was within walking distance of four hawker centers, maybe five. And I went to like four or five of them. I had maybe like a total of 12 meals there. I texted a picture to some of you guys. You can put it on social media if you want. It's not a big deal. But anyway.
All the pictures that you sent?
Yeah, all from hawker centers and stuff, for the most part. I think maybe one. Yeah. But anyway, I'll post it on the
Instagram reel. Yeah. But okay,
yeah, I will say the food is delicious. It does live up to it. It is really, really good. And for a very cheap price point, too. And so every meal I had was basically like this. I would have one main course, and then I would have a dessert, and then I have like freshly squeezed juice. So, and those three courses probably cost me only like maybe less than $10 US. And everything I had was pretty delicious. And it's not so much because, you know, I had chicken, seafood, whatever. It's not so much the meat of it. It's the broth that they use, the spices and the oils and all that stuff. That's what really sets it apart and stuff like that. So I'd say the food is delicious. And one of the ways I check to see if a city's food is good is like eat at the mall food. Everything I ate was mostly at the hawker centers, but I did go to like this fancy mall and did eat mall food, this Japanese little stall or whatever. And even that was pretty good. You know what I mean? It was pretty good. It's pretty delicious and stuff like that. So yeah.
So you're saying Singapore food is good?
Yes, I would say if you're a foodie, this is a hot take, man. If you're a foodie and you want to eat delicious food, just go to Singapore. I didn't eat during my time. I didn't go to one restaurant at Singapore. I just ate at the hawker centers.
I'm not sure if you would call it a hot take, but sure,
yeah, I know.
Sure.
I was being sarcastic, obviously. Okay. I'm clearly not the first person to discover Singapore as a foodie place and stuff like that. But I would say it's really good though. And what's nice about it, it's really efficient. Like I said, within, I would say the furthest hawker center it took me to walk there was like maybe 15 minutes. So within 15 minutes of the hotel I stayed in, I was within 5 hawker centers. And each hawker center had at least dozens and dozens of food stalls and stuff like that. And I always tried at least like a small fraction of the foods that are available and stuff like that. So yeah, the downside, I mentioned this in the previous podcast, the downside to Singapore is it's really humid. It's really hot. If you don't mind the humidity, if that's not a big deal to you, Singapore is a nice place to hang out and stuff like that.
All right.
The last thing I want to mention about Singapore is somebody mentioned this like before. I saw a lot of videos, social media about Singapore before I left. And somebody mentioned that despite the fact it's a major city, it's a big city of a lot of people, that it's very green and very spacious. And I think that's very, very true and stuff like that. Singapore is only a few, you know, square miles, whatever it is. And stuff, but there's a lot of greenery that they built into the city, like along the freeway that I drove from the airport to downtown. There's like plants and trees sort of like planted along the freeway and stuff like that. All the buildings actually had greenery on their walls and on the balconies and stuff like that. There's a lot of little parks, a lot of little places where they plant trees and a lot of greenery and stuff like that. And despite, like I said, despite the fact it's a very compacted area, unlike like Chicago or Hong Kong, they didn't build buildings within like an inch of you know, within, you know, everything's not packed in, you know what I mean? It's not like buildings on top of buildings on top of buildings, you know what I mean? There's a lot of space actually available. So it's a very, actually, despite the fact that it's a lot of people, the city's actually very smoothing and calm with the greenery and stuff. That's the other thing that I noticed about Singapore. So yeah.
Okay, I want to move on to a topic sure. that involves Disneyland again. So once again, I kind of
Anna's back on the phone.
I bothered Anna to come back real quick.
Oh, right on.
Hey, Anna, welcome back. Here. You're still Disneyland. Quick question, Anna: did you get on the Millennium Falcon today?
Yes, I did.
Okay, who were the pilots?
What do you mean, who were the pilots?
Who were the pilots for the Falcon when you got on the ride?
It was 2 grown adults, 2 males.
Okay, so there were no kids present, right?
No children.
So I got
that last time.
I bring this up because there's an article here in Theme Park Insider, Hot Take Debate. Disney needs a new rules for his Millennium Falcon. And the rule is...
I 1,000 agree.
Wow. Okay, so Jame. So here's what he proposed. Like, a Disneyland or Walt Disney World in general should implement a minimum age rule to sit in the Absolutely. Pilot seats on the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run attraction. Because apparently...
I signed the petition.
Because apparently kids do not know how to fly the plane. Now...
No! Okay. Let me tell you, the last time I was on, they had a kid. I'm like, oh my God, you're going to be the pilot. That child, like, he had control of the up and down, and he did up and down like 10 times. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, he did it. Like, of course, he didn't realize it, but he's just doing it because it's fun. And it was just not fun when they're like, you know, I mean, I understand it's a really good experience for them and it's cool, but like, it, we're crashing and,
do you guys not believe in magic? Do you not guys believe in joy? I don't know how to break this. I don't know how to tell you guys this, but nobody knows how to fly a spaceship. I don't know how to break this. It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing.
We did good today. Okay. No.
You know, I don't know how to, you guys are not Han Solo. I don't know how to break this to you guys. It's not a real thing.
Okay.
It's for kids, guys. It's for kids. Let them have the fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Let them have the fun.
Can I be a vote in this?
No.
So hold on. So Anna says yes.
Yeah.
Put a minimum age. Yes. Jiaming says yes. It's Disneyland. It's supposed to be for kids. My vote is okay, it's Disneyland. It's supposed to be for kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's been multiple times where I will go with Jessica, right, and then we get on like a 6-person group, random people to get on the Falcon, right, and there are kids present, and you know, and me, I'm like, hey kids, have you been on this ride before? I'm like, no. Did you guys want to be the pilot? I'm that guy that even actually offers it to the kids because you know what? Yes. The kids should have that experience.
Yeah. This is the equivalent of when you get on like a train or a bus and you see a little old lady standing up and stuff like that, and you have a seat, you let the little old lady have the seat. You know what I mean? It's not about you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let the kids have their fun. It's not a big deal, guys.
You're right. I'm a terrible person, but you guys already know that.
Yeah.
So I don't have to hide anything from you guys.
Although it would be hilarious if you push the kids out of the way. And like, get out of here. I'm the pilot.
I would.
Han Solo. Get out of here.
Yeah. So in the beginning, the Falcon ride in the beginning, they will actually, the cast member will actually give the assignments to the people, first come, first serve, whoever's in line kind of situation. Now they give people options and whatnot, blah, 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 blah. But I understand that if you paid like hundreds of dollars to go to Disneyland and then you get on the Falcon, you don't get to be the pilot. And then the ride itself becomes kind of like this crazy, I'm going to throw up kind of ride. I get it. It's not as fun of an experience.
Yeah.
But it's Disneyland.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember the one time I went, I think I was with my brother and my nephew, obviously, and stuff like that. But I think there were other adults, and everybody just let my nephew just pilot and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it was just be cool, guys, is all I'm saying.
Okay. But Anna, if you want to ask the people in your party right now, Disneyland, what their vote will be, feel free.
Okay, just know that I'm a terrible person.
Okay, so in this ThemeParkInsider.com article, as I'm going to let Anna go now, they did do the poll. Minimum age to fly the Falcon, yes or no? People said 33% said no, and 67% said yes. So, yes.
We're not wrong. We're not wrong.
Just because you win the vote doesn't mean you're right. Okay, Anna.
I'm right.
Thanks for coming back on. Enjoy the rest of the set. Bye.
I get kicked out. Bye.
But yeah, I saw this article and I'm like, come on, people. Really? Really?
Yeah. Come on, man. Just be nice, man. It's just, like I said, it's not a real thing. It's not a big deal. Let the kids have their fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. And that's what... No, wrong episode. Thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram,
Threads, and
YouTube.
Another perfect podcast.
At Stuff Juncture. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well, at Albert5x5.
You can find me on social media, AmangLOU.
You can find Anna at...
Disneyland, yeah.
At Disneyland, yes. There we go.
Pushing kids out of the way.
Links in the show notes. Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes, found on whatworstwhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 23 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jiaming.
You know, this is a podcast I'm listening to called The Lonely Island with Seth Meyers.
That's still going on?
Yeah, that's still going on. They're not going to stop until they get all the digital shorts. Okay. They've only done 5. Yeah. Basically, it's what do you call it? They're just going through all the Lonely Island digital shorts from the SNL days. And they're they're going in chronological order. There's only been 5 episodes. So they'll be, I think they're on for like 5 or 6 years. So they'll be, the podcast should go on for a little bit. So yeah, they're just basically going, like I said, just going through each episode where they had digital short to just explain to you the thought process of how it came about and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really funny. It's all 3 members of the Lonely Island with Seth Meyers, and they're all friends. They've known just like 18, 17 years, something like that. And it's a lot of fun. So it's a good podcast. Good times.
Now, do you recommend people watch it on YouTube or
is the audio
pretty fine? I'm assuming the YouTube has like videos playing or whatever, right?
I didn't even know before you mentioned that they had a YouTube version of the podcast. I thought you meant, do you recommend you going back and looking at the digital shorts in case you can't remember? I would recommend that.
Oh, sure.
Some of these digital shorts I don't remember. You can find a couple of them actually. You can find it on YouTube. You can go on Peacock with the SNL and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
But well, I just listen to audio podcast, though.
Okay.
To answer your question.
The YouTube version is essentially just the audio anyway. So.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Basically, it's kind of like how our podcast is on YouTube. More or less just the audio anyway.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Lonely Island, if you're a fan of SNL and those digital shorts, it's a good podcast.
There we go. Seth Meyers Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast.
Yeah. You can find it pretty easily. You just type in any combination of those words, you'll find it on wherever you get your podcast.
Right. My recommendation is something that I recommended a while back. It's called frame.wtf. Okay. So essentially, the way this game works is kind of like a Wordle kind of situation. You get six tries to guess a movie, in this case, mm-hmm. by a still frame. Right. Right. There are some movies where you see the first still frame and you're like, oh, I know that movie. You know, and then there's some where you're like, I'm not sure where that's from. And the reason why I'm re-recommending this is because it also reminded me how important it is for a movie to have a good cinematographer and a director who has a vision of how the movie looks, right? Because a lot of the times, especially there are times where a movie that I have never seen pops up on frame.wtf, and I will know that movie because I've seen this image multiple mm-hmm. times in different areas, or I know, it's like, I know where that's from, kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know? So a lot of movies out there, you can shoot it very simple, and it doesn't stand out at all. Right. And those one would probably be like, okay, I need to see more frames to figure this out. But there are those movies out there where the cinematographer has a perfectly good shot that makes it look really well. And the director had a perfectly good vision to make the single frame speaks on its own merit. And that by itself stood out. And that tells you what the movie is. And that's amazing. So whenever people watch movies, this, I guess, is also a recommendation to say this, but whenever people watch movies, you got to think, like, when you're watching the visual frame of a movie in cinema, in the big screen, or on TV, got to think, why did they choose that shot? And will you remember that shot in the future? So, yeah. So shout out to cinematographers and directors who have a visual vision, and as well as check out frame.wtf. It's a fun little daily game that I play, and yeah, pretty good. Like, you see a red door, and you're like, oh, I know where that movie's from, and that kind of thing. Spoilers for the... Well, I guess by the time you listen to this, it'll be a different quiz, so it doesn't matter. All right. Well, there we go, folks. This was episode 765 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who, What, Where's, Why production.
Nice.
Wow, an even shorter episode than the previous one. Look at that.
Look at that.
Flying by.
We did it again.
Flying by. I don't even think this was 20 minutes. Oh, this wasn't 20 minutes. It's like super short. Sorry. But you had like the super episode of the Summer Movie Major last week. So if you haven't listened to that, that could eat up some time. Or listen to our older episodes. Our older episodes from back in the day, you know. Click on the YouTube.
Let me look at today. It's Sunday afternoon. Let's see where the Summer Wager is right now. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Fall Guy made 12. Okay, I only made 28.
I know.
That's not good.
Not good. I think they wanted 40 million. It was good. Yeah. I think they said 40 million first weekend with a possible run of 140, 46 or whatever. I don't think it's good. I think it's going to barely make 100 at this rate.
28. You'd be lucky if it got to 100. That means it's dark horse, number 10 position, stuff like that. The only hope it might have is like it has good word of mouth. It has some legs, but I don't know. The people who I saw it with seem to like it and stuff like that. So maybe there's a chance. Maybe
I liked it too. I actually quite liked it. Did you stick around for the mid credits?
Is it mid credits? No, I didn't know there was a mid credits scene.
Oh yeah, there's a mid credits. Spoilers for the movie, guys, if you listen to this right now. But mid credits scene, Lee Majors and Heather Thomas shows up at the end.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering when they would show up.
It also concludes what happened to the director and the bad guy, Andrew Taylor Johnson, okay. and what's your name? They show what happened to them.
Right, okay.
So yeah, okay. You can also go to aftercredits.com. I think that's what it's called, and it's on there if you want to read it. Oh, you know what? There is a kind of topic that I want to talk about, but I felt like it would have spoiled the movie somewhat. So since it is an after credits, let me go talk about it since you already saw it too. So I read an article about how supposedly in the movie they joked about what's his face? Johnny Depp and what's her name? Amber Heard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that joke being referred to? It was by the producer. The producer mentioned it, and like I guess she was referring to Emily Blunt. And Ryan Gosling's characters, and like, oh wow, this is like a whole thing. This is like a whole Depp and Heard kind of thing going on.
I don't remember this joke.
I don't remember this joke either, right? Because there are people who are saying that they wanted to cancel it or whatever because of this movie, because of that joke. Like, oh, look at them being insensitive about spousal abuse and blah, 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 blah. Right?
There's a couple of things. The first thing is, after I saw the movie, I went back and watched some of the trailers for Fall Guy. And from what I can tell, there's a lot of things that was actually cut, a lot of jokes that were cut, a lot of scenes that were cut. That's number one. Number two, I do not remember a Johnny Depp or Amber Heard reference at all. So you don't either, right?
I don't either, yeah.
Yeah. And also the other thing is this is a little bit of a tangent. Who do you think the producer is sort of, and the actor relationship is based on? I have an idea. Do you have an idea of what the real life counterpart is?
No. Go on.
I believe it's kind of based on Tom Cruise and his old producing partner. I forgot who it was. But anyway, the story goes, the timeline of it goes, like Tom Cruise early in his career always had like this producing partner that's real ball buster. She was like a real control freak. She was, she kept everything in line as far as the press and stuff like that.
She kept things in check, if I remember that
correctly. Yeah, you kind of heard about this, right? And yes. Then famously, things got off the rail when Tom Cruise let her go and stuff like that. The thing that happened Katie with Holmes. Oprah, yeah, you kind of remember this now, yeah, right? Yeah. After she left or they got departed, that's when the Oprah thing happened, when he jumped on the couch, and that's when all the Scientology stuff started leaking and stuff like that. Because what happened was, back in the day, if anybody had something bad to say about Tom Cruise, or they're going to publish it, she would call that publishing company and say, hey, if you write the story about Tom Cruise, all my other celebrities or all these other things will be unavailable to you. You know what I mean? She's a real ball buster. So that was my thing that came out of Fall Guy, that relationship was sort of based on Tom Cruise and this producing partner. I think is it Paula Reiner? Is that the chick from... I think that might be her. Anyway,
isn't she the girl from Ted Lasso?
Yes, she's the girl from Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, she's also the girl from Game of Thrones, famously. Shame.
Oh, that's Shame. Right. She was, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yes, yeah, Shame. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that I took away from The Fall Guy is, did you get this inside joke? Very inside joke, very baseball and stuff, inside baseball and stuff like that. The Chekhov's gun.
Oh, no?
You know the expression Chekhov's gun, right?
Yes.
And so in the beginning of the movie, he goes through the guy's apartment, right? It's empty and all that.
Oh, right.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
The whole movie has a lot of good, good playful jokes. He does.
Yeah. A lot of meta, a lot of making a movie, making a thing kind of joke, right? Yeah, it's very good.
It is very good. I rather enjoyed The Fall Guy. But going back to the Depp and her joke,
right.
Another thing too is, by that point you don't know she's the bad guy, but she was the bad guy. Even if she did make that joke, she was the bad guy. And if you didn't think she was the bad guy then, you probably didn't think highly of that character after she made that joke. And maybe that's the point, folks. Maybe that is the point. Like hey, maybe you shouldn't you should side eye this character. Because
she's a very sleazy person now.
Exactly. Like, when does it get to a point where bad people in movies are not allowed to say bad things because it hurts somebody in real life?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Like, do you have a Hitler movie who doesn't say bad things because it might hurt people? I mean, come on. I mean, that's an extreme joke, comparison, Albert, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. If it's a movie about Hollywood, it's a movie that kind of plays on Hollywood, you know, they have a right to kind of reference what's going on in Hollywood right now. You know what I mean? So, bad guy's a bad guy. They do bad guy things.
Do bad guy things, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get some people are sensitive about certain things, but there's a lot of things that people can be sensitive about.
But that's only if that line actually exists. In the
which I don't remember it being in the movie, so I don't get it. Maybe it was in screeners or in some kind of early screening, and then somebody said something about it, and then they excised it from the general release. Because most movie theaters nowadays, they get their movies digitally, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Actually, I did ask somebody about that, and do you guys get your stuff on satellite or something? And they go, no, they give us a DAT tape, a data tape.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then they plug it into the machine, and that's what plays.
You really? Know? Oh wow!
Yeah, because
they just FedEx it too.
It's something like that, right? Because I asked about this because of the whole incident months ago with the anime movie, where it ended up becoming the dub version, not the subtitle version. Mm-hmm. So I asked about that. Did you just get like the wrong feed from the satellite? They go, no, there was no satellite feed. They gave us a tape. And then that's what was in the tape. You know, like, nothing we could do about it. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, so.
This is a Universal movie, so we can see on Peacock in a couple months. See if that line is actually in there.
I guess so. It shows up in the deleted scene or something. Or it won't show up in the deleted scene because, backlash. So, well, there we go. But, listeners, think about that. Like, bad guys in bad movies, they do bad things. Can I say
it? And also, don't make the whole Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing. It's not part of your personality. You know what I mean? You don't have to ride or die with Johnny Depp.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Some people, that is their personality, you know, because they don't
stop that.
Yeah.
I know. Talk to a therapist. Yeah. Talk to somebody about that. It's not that big a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like the whole thing with Britney Spears right now, where people are not like, okay, the free Britney people, are you still free Britney or?
Yeah.
Maybe she needed some help after all.
That's a whole other thing. That's a whole thing. Right? That's a whole thing where there's a bit of a tangent, but that's a whole thing where two things can be true at the same time. The first truth is the father's a terrible person. He shouldn't have been in a position to profit off her. She shouldn't have been in a position to have her sign contracts, or she has to go through all, you know, perform and all that stuff in her mental condition. The other thing that can be true is we need serious mental help. You know what I mean? Those two things can be true at the same time. You know what I mean? Because it's obvious she needs incredible intervention, incredible mental help and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Those two things can be true at the same time. You know what I mean? And if you're a free Britney person, you have to hold those two truths in your head somehow. You know what I mean? The father's a bad person. That conservatorship is kind of bullshit and all that stuff. But at the same time, she's seriously, seriously unstable person. She needs help desperately and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. I think part of the problem, too, with the conservative that she had was that she had it for a couple of decades. And how is this a person supposed to grow if she's still being treated like a teenager?
Yeah.
So.
And you going back to what you can't have a conservative with the chicks like, sign these complicated, like, legal document, performing document, money exchange. That's not how it works and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's not how it works supposed to be. That's not in the spirit of conservatorship and stuff like that. So, but at the same time, my guy needs help, man. Those Britney Spears need serious help and stuff. So, what are you gonna do?
What you're gonna do exactly?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Anything else you want to toss into the after credits before we wrap this up?
I think we covered it, man. We covered Tom Cruise, Fall Guy, Britney, boom, hello, Johnny Depp. What more do you need? I will say this, going back to your previous recommendation, I did start seeing I've seen the first 5 episodes of Pluto, two or three more left. Pluto,
it's fantastic. You are watching the anime Pluto,
anime. I finally got into it. It's really good, especially the first episode. It's high level storytelling.
Good. Yeah, it's like this is what I mean by it's a story for adults, but you know, anybody can watch this.
I'm gonna send this on a disc to George Bush. What do you think of that?
But you're saying you're what episode right now?
I think I just finished 6, I think.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, with the thing and the thing happened and stuff like that.
Yeah. No spoilers, people, if you haven't seen Pluto, go watch Pluto. Highly recommend.
I can't get over the first episode especially is fantastic. It's there's a story within the story that's as lovely and as beautiful as anything I've seen recently and stuff like that.
I still have debated whether I want to go back and watch the original Astro Boy episodes for Pluto. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but
my understanding is this guy who worked on this, he elevated the material, right?
Oh, he absolutely did. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff from the original that is in this version, you know. And even even the character design of Pluto is very similar. Yes. Yeah, but
over the last 47 years of my life, I've seen those images, those original manga art and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So somewhere in the recesses of my mind, they're there somewhere, and I see it in the anime. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Especially the Pluto design. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Of course, but back then it was a lot more cartoony looking, you know.
Exactly.
But this one, this is actual menace or like that you feel from this character.
The topics and the contemporary like themes they talk about, it's like, oh, it's like hardcore. It's like, ooh,
and it's so relevant to today too.
Yeah. Again, George Bush is just cracking strays, man. These are not like this is not like a impenetrable illusion or anything like that, you know what I mean? United States of something something and the Persia America. It's like,
I know. It was it's like they're so close to just say the name. Just say the name. We know who you're talking about. Just say the name.
Yeah. And this also goes back to the idea we've talked about over the years, like artificial intelligence, what it means, what's soul, what is a soul, what is a blah, blah, blah. But it's also about how you tell these stories and the way you tell these stories about like what life means, through something the most human. The most human thing about our existence is warfare, right? You know what I mean? About war and stuff like that. So it's well done. Very high level storytelling.
Yes. I look forward to seeing you finish the series.
Yeah. I'll probably mention it again during the regular recommendation section once I finish it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, dude. Thanks for being on.
That's it.
I'll talk to you next week.
Later.